Billions of people walk the face of the earth with a profound sense of emptiness. No matter how much money they have in the bank, no matter how pleasant their family life, and no matter the smile they put on their face, they lack meaning. There's no lasting peace in our lives without having peace with God. And that blessing of peace with God is ours through faith in the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Here's Stephen.
If you look up the definition of peace, you'll find it defined as the ending of a state of war. Well, that's a pretty good definition of peace, but our world has rarely experienced it. The headlines are constantly announcing another conflict, another war at hand, and mankind has discovered, haven't we, as one political leader once said, that making peace is a lot harder than making war. Well, you know, the same problem existed back in the ancient world. The world was longing for peace. Their hopes seemed realized with the rise of the mighty Roman Empire. In fact, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus established the Pax Romana, that was the peace of Rome. It did bring order and freedom from warfare for many years, but it eventually disintegrated back into bloodshed and war all over again. I find it ironic that it was during the reign of Caesar Augustus, the emperor who created the Peace of Rome, that Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, was born. You know, the only hope the world had for peace rested at that time on the Roman government. But in God's plan, the real hope for lasting peace was now lying in a manger. And you know, to this day, Jesus gives to everyone who puts their trust in him this priceless gift that the Apostle Paul is now going to write about here as we sail back into Romans. Now we're at chapter 5. And verse 1, let me tell you before we get started, this is the most important peace you will ever find in life. Paul puts it this way in verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, so far in our wisdom journey through the book of Romans, Paul has shown us the need for justification in the first three chapters. Then he illustrated justification, that is, being made right with God, in chapter 4. Well, now Paul doesn't just want to explain justification and illustrate justification. He wants to give us the blessings, the results of being justified. And the first blessing he gives us here is peace with God. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to point out two characteristics of this peace that we have with God through Christ. First, peace with God here is clearly shown as absolutely free. Paul writes here that this peace is based on being justified by faith. Now, Paul has already emphasized that salvation is by faith alone. Back in chapter 3, he wrote in verses 23 and 24, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So this gift of peace is free. You know, the trouble is people want to earn their way into this peace treaty with God, into heaven. And that's because they think they can. They don't believe they're all that bad. In fact, they don't want to hear that heaven has to be free because they'll never be good enough to earn their way in. They certainly don't want to be told that they're at war with God, that they're the enemy of God. But did you know that the Bible makes it very clear that there is enmity between God and mankind? That is literally a state of war between sinful humanity and Almighty God. In fact, Paul describes it over in chapter 8 and verses 5 to 7, where he writes this, "Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God." Well, that word hostile here is translated, could be translated, hateful. The mind and the heart of the unbeliever is hateful toward God. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as neutrality. You're either God's friend or his enemy. Now, if you ask the average person out there on the street if he considers himself an enemy of God, he's going to say, well, of course not. I'm not an enemy of God. You ask the average unbeliever, do you hate God? And he'll answer, well, of course I don't hate God. But if you move on to correctly describe for them the God of the Bible, a holy and righteous judge who will one day send unbelievers to an eternal hell, well, let me tell you, they're going to hate that kind of God. I remember reading the testimony of Jacob Kashi. He grew up in Singapore with one driving ambition, to be a success in life, to get all the money and all the possessions he could gather. And that eventually led him into a world of drugs and gambling. Eventually, he became the leader of an international smuggling network. He was eventually arrested. He was sentenced to several years in prison. He was angry at God. He was angry at mankind, locked away in a cell. His heart was full of hatred and emptiness. Even though he knew the gospel, he wanted nothing to do with God. Well, he liked to smoke, but cigarettes weren't allowed in prison. His friends would smuggle in some tobacco, and Jacob would roll it in the pages of a Gideon Bible that had been delivered, and he would smoke it in those pages. Well, one day he fell asleep while smoking, and when he woke up, the cigarette had burned out, but a little scrap of charred paper had been left lying there, still curled up. He unrolled it, and it simply read, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, Jacob was curious. He asked for another Gideon Bible to be brought to him, and he found the full account eventually over there in Acts chapter 9, the conversion of Saul, who hated Jesus Christ. Well, Jacob realized that if God could save an enemy of Jesus like Saul, perhaps God could save him as well. Right there in his cell, he knelt and asked God to save him and forgive him. He began to cry. His heart was flooded, he wrote, with peace. God had redeemed him. Well, he began sharing his story with other inmates, and some of them believed in Christ. And he would laugh as he told them he saw the truth of God because he smoked the Word of God. Well, when Jacob was released from prison, he joined a Bible-believing church. He married a young Christian woman, and they went on to serve as missionaries in the Far East. You know, Jacob had been given the gift of peace. This peace with God was absolutely free. Well, now let me give you the second characteristic here, and that is this. The peace of God, or peace with God, is an absolute fact. It's absolutely free, and it's an absolute fact. Paul writes again here in verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. Now, you notice he doesn't write, we'll eventually get peace, or we're working our way toward it. No, he says, we have it. In fact, the past tense verb indicates this is an established fact. Beloved, you don't grow into peace with God. You don't work your way to peace with God. It's a free gift. It's given to you the moment you turn your heart toward God and say, God, I'm a sinner, and I depend entirely upon your Son to save me and forgive me. And let me tell you, at that very moment in your life, you're justified. You're declared right with God, and peace with God becomes an absolute fact in your life. Now, keep in mind, beloved, Paul, he's not talking here about a peaceful state of mind and heart. That's the peace of God. That's when you give your anxious thoughts to him. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 tells you all about that. Paul isn't referring here to the peace of God, but peace with God. That is, the hostility between you and God is forever settled. Now, I've talked to unbelievers who say they have a sense of peace. They experience a peaceful state of mind through maybe transcendental meditation or yoga or sitting out there by a lake in the evening. They feel at peace. It's possible for an unbeliever to experience feelings of peace. But that peaceful feeling is misleading, and it's temporary. Peace with God is not a temporary feeling. It's an eternal fact. If you haven't trusted in Christ today, understand this. You cannot have true peace with God until you accept the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, as your Savior and Lord. You need to understand that the Prince of Peace wrote the peace treaty that you can have with God. He wrote it at his cross. You sign it, so to speak, when you ask him to become your Savior and your Redeemer. And when you sign it personally, when you accept his free gift of salvation, guess what happens? Well, some gifts keep on coming. And this first gift is the gift of peace. Peace at last with God. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and you're listening to The Wisdom Journey. Stephen is taking you through all 66 books of the Bible with a new lesson each weekday. Today's lesson is called Unwrapping the Gift of Peace. We'd really enjoy hearing from you and learning how God is using this ministry to build you up in the faith. Please take a few moments and drop us a note. Our mailing address is Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. Let me give you that again. You can write to us at Wisdom International, P.O. Box 37297, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27627. By the way, please consider including a gift when you write. Stephen often reminds us that our ministry is empowered by your prayer and enabled by your support. Your partnership is vital to us, and we're thankful for it. If you prefer communicating electronically, our email address is info@wisdomonline.org. That's info@wisdomonline.org. Our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE if we can assist you personally. If you have a question or if we can help you in any way, call today. Thanks again for listening. Join us again next time here on The Wisdom Journey.